The prisoners filed out of their cell, scared but happy to be free, at least for a moment, from the fate that they all now knew awaited them in the mind-breaking machines just down the hall.
Everybody quiet! Listen to me. Listen carefully. You are all about to be destroyed as men. I know you've grown up in the Russian fortress cities, and you're used to obeying the authorities. I'm not here to criticize you for that, but now you must fight. For the first time in your lives, you must fight back. You may all die. We may all die. But we are Americans, and there are things worse than death. The time to strike back, to rebel, is here.
Are you the Roxxon?
Yes, I'm Ted Roxxon. I'm here to free you.
The Roxxon? The ultimate American!
They had all heard of him. Every single worker in America had. And though they had prayed he existed and would someday come to free them, in their guts, they had feared he was not real. No man could fight the Reds with all the strength they had, all their armies and weapons. But Roxxon had, and now he was here for them. One of the largest prisoners, an obvious brawler with a black eye and bruised knuckles, came up first. He had killed already, Rock could see.
We are with you, Roxxon. Give me a gun.
Here's a submachine gun and 5 clips. Here, you put the...
I know how to shoot it.
Good.
The other prisoners stepped forward, slowly at first, and then more of them, their eyes growing brighter by the second. For the first time in their lives, there was hope. They took the weapons that Rock and Kim handed out, and Rock gave a 30-second course in firing them.
We must get more weapons, many more, and free all the prisoners in this hellhole. Then we can fight our way out. Every Red we kill means another rifle and pistol for us, so let's spread out. Move in groups of 10. If one man falls, take his gun and fight on. Many of us will die, but we will die as men.
Rock picked out the strongest and meanest looking of the lot.
You Americans come with me. You'll work with me. Ours will be the hardest job.
The workers tore off in all directions, down the hallways, onto the other floors. Roxxon smiled a blade-thin grin. The Reds would be feeling something they weren't used to. Fear.
Kim, you stay here.
Forget it, Rock. We're in this together.
All right, then. But stick close by me.
With Rock and Kim in the lead and the 30-man force behind them, they headed off down the hall toward the brainwashing operation. Two immense steel doors were tightly shut about 200 feet down the corridor. They came to the door, and Rock quickly looked it over. No way they could shoot their way in.
I heard him talking about some sort of weapons cache just before the main mind-breaking chamber.
Spread out. You, down that way. You men, over there. We're looking for their weapons storage. If you find anything, yell.
They spread out, opening every door.
Here, we found it.
Rock and Kim tore down the white and red checkered tile floor. They ran into a large room filled with shelves of weapons. Rifles, SMGs, and what Rock had been hoping for. Small explosives, hand grenades, shells for mortars. It was a regular mini armory.
You 5 men, run down to the other floors with as many weapons as you can carry. Tell the workers you see to come up here to get arms and more ammo.
The freed Americans loaded up their arms with as much as they could possibly carry and headed down the hall, hardly able to walk. Rock loaded up with grenades and 5 heavy mortar shells and went back to the steel doors of the brainwashing center. He set them down right at the crack of the 2 sliding doors.
All right. Everybody get back 100 feet down the hall. I'm setting this grenade for 10 seconds. Everybody cover your ears and open your mouths to keep the pressure equalized. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Shit. It didn't set off.
Rock Rock and his team of freed workers waited another 10 seconds for any secondaries, and then ran back through the smoke and rubble that littered the hallway. The doors had been ripped off their hinges and smashed open. Rock rushed in, gun at the ready. The lingering wisps of smoke cleared quickly, and Rock nearly gasped as he took in the sight before him. Men, rows and rows of men, were strapped into plastic chairs with a mindbreaker covering the entire top of their skulls. The rows of drooling, strapped-down men went on as far as Roxanne could see. There must have been thousands on this one floor alone. And they no longer screamed. Gray tissue was leaking out of their nostrils, and reddish spittle dripped from their slackened jaws. Their veins stood out on their faces like leather cords. It appeared that their eyes would surely pop out of their sockets, trailing bloody tendrils, and in some cases they had.
Huey! I'll get you out, Huey. Let me just take this thing off you. Huey!
Don't pull him out! The lasers are still running. They'll slice their brains to jelly. There has to be a reverse procedure on these devices.
He looked around and saw at the far end of the immense brainwashing chamber a control room, glassed in behind dark purple polarized glass. Roxanne took off, moving with all the speed his mutant body possessed. He reached the door at the far end before the two red technicians inside could make their escape down a back stairway.
Stop! Stop the machines now!
The two Mindbreaker operators, white-coated and unarmed, stopped in their tracks, raised their arms, and turned slowly around.
Now I don't want any bullshit from you or any stalling. I'm not in the mood to play any games. You got it?
Don't kill us, no, no. We can stop them, but we can't undo the process. What's done is done.
Well, stop the damn thing now!
I'm moving.
The pale, pimple-faced Red ran to a complicated-looking set of controls, dials, and buttons, and frantically pressed in the code for the Mindbreakers to withdraw from their brain drilling. Within a second, the small lights above each helmet went from green to red, and the machines began withdrawing their white-hot laser probes from the prisoners.
Come with me.
Rock led the two back out to the floor, where the victims of the Mindbreakers were being released from their living hell. They rose from their blood-soaked chairs, those that could still move. Many were mindless zombies who sat staring straight ahead. Others died on the spot, the shock of the entire experience too much for their weakened nervous systems to take. Out of the 1,000 being brainwashed, 273 were coherent. Roxanne had the two technicians strapped down to the chairs the American prisoners had been in just minutes before.
No, we showed you. Please don't kill us.
We were only following orders.
Jerry.
Yeah, Rock.
Turn him on.
Roxanne led the newly released prisoners out into the hall and had his men arm them with as many spare weapons as they had collected.
Men, you're free now. Free for the first time in your lives. You're no longer slaves to the Reds. But now, you will have to fight. I am Ted Roxanne. Yes, the Roxanne, as you call me. But the truth is that I'm just a man like you. Just a free fighter like 10,000, 100,000 others around America. And what that means is that the Russians are not supermen. They're not immortal. They can be killed. You've been raised in fear of them. They've tried to make you think that you are all powerless against them. But that is all lies. You are strong. There are red bodies lying down below that these men here have already demonstrated their powerlessness on.
The 30 men of Rock's hastily assembled commando squad raised the weapons proudly with slightly dazed expressions on their faces. Everything was happening so fast.
Arm them!
The newly freed prisoners crowded around, arming themselves from the weapon stack. They held them backwards, tried to find the trigger. Rock held each weapon up one at a time and showed them how to use them, firing down the hall into the wall to demonstrate the use. When they were all as well-trained as a 200-man army of semi-brainwashed, stumbling torture victims could be with 3 minutes of schooling and weapons, Roxon led them back down the hall to the elevators.
We're gonna split up into groups of 40. Each group will take one of the next 5 floors above us. We're gonna liberate every damn prisoner in this torture chamber a floor at a time. You know where the chambers are. They're arranged the same on each level. When you free the other prisoners, arm them and tell them what I told you. You're free men now. Fight to save your freedom.
Roxon picked leaders for each team, and they piled into different elevators, heading out to make war on the Reds. The war between the freed Americans and the Red Army and KGB raged for hours. The workers fought their way up and down the stairs as more and more Red troops called out from their barracks poured into the building. But the workers continued to fight their way into each brainwashing sector and freed their brothers after bloody battles that left scores of them dead. About a quarter of all the freed prisoners were able to function enough to join the battle, and they were given whatever weapons were available and shown how to point the things and pull the trigger. Roxon and his teams of men, pushing down a floor at a time, battled the Reds, who tried to come up from the main lobby. They held them for nearly an hour, laying down a withering fire that the Reds were scared to even attempt to cross. As the first 20 men who had tried lay riddled with bloody holes at the foot of the first floor stairs. But then the Reds brought in 2 men with flamethrowers who started up the stairs. Many of the first 2 floors burned to death or suffocated from the lack of oxygen. They retreated floor by floor, trying desperately to hold back the Reds. But fighting against bullets was one thing. Weapons that sprayed fire was something else. New reinforcements of freed American prisoners came down from above, bringing some grenades with them. This time the fire stopped, but the Reds knew they had the rebellion on the run. They quickly brought reinforcements. But they had only so many grenades. Within an hour, they had been pushed all the way back up to the 19th floor where they had started. Rock joined the leader of that force, running down with Kim and a group of armed workers, whom he had already chosen as his special 5-man team for extra hazardous and important duty. They had fought their way up to the 36th floor, where they were meeting stiffer resistance. The leader of the force that had been pushed up from below ran over to Roxon, holding his Kalashnikov far out ahead of him, as he still had not quite gotten used to the handling of the weapon.
We've lost nearly 2/3 of our men downstairs, Roxon. The Reds are using some kind of rifle that shoots fire. They got the whole lower portion of the building now. Christ, they must have nearly 1,000 troops down there now. They're just blasting through us. I don't know if we're ever gonna get out of here. What are we gonna do?
If they're using fire, let's return the favor. There are bottles of alcohol and other flammable liquids stored in closets along the floors. Get 20 men and bring everyone you can find back here.
Freed workers came running back from all around the building to report to Roxon, who had become the general in what was turning out to be the largest battle between American and Russian forces since the landing of Soviet commando forces a century before. The men sent out to get the flammable liquids came back dragging bottle after bottle of the stuff.
Where should we put it?
Pile it all up on the stairs. Good. Now we'll wait. Looks like we won't have to wait long.
Retreating wounded workers came pouring up the stairs.
Everybody up here! Watch the bottles! Don't knock them over!
Soon, the Red sounded like they were on the floor below, and the first spray of fire could be seen rounding the stairs.
Everybody get back!
Time to send some Reds straight to hell.
The flame-throwing troops waited a second for the smoke to clear ahead of them, not noticing the pungent stream beneath their feet.
Attention all black shirts! They're 1 floor above you! Engage and fire at will!
They brought their flamethrowers to bear, hoping to fry more American flesh. Instead,
That should hold them for a bit.
We'll have to head up now. Most of the top floors are controlled by us. If we could just get a hold of some choppers, we'll be home free.
The force headed up, leaving a small lake of the flammable liquid covering the floor. When the Reds hit the grenade that Roxanne had rigged up by the fire stairs door, they'd get their next big surprise of the day. By the time Rock and his men reached the officers' quarters on the top five floors, the brass had already fled by helicopter. Colonel Keeloff had choppered to the ground and re-entered the first floor lobby, where he directed the Red Army in their attack.